playwright and screenwriter Horton Foote died in his sleep earlier this week. At age 92, he was still writing, fine-tuning his nine-play classic known as The Orphan's Home Cycle for a new production scheduled to open in New York next season. His most recent play, Dividing the Estate, is a good bet for a Tony nomination this year. He wrote his first play, the one-act Wharton Dance, in 1940. In the intervening 69 years, Horton Foote won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama for his play Atlanta. He won Academy Awards for his adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, starring Gregory Peck, and for his original screenplay for Tender Mercies, starring Robert Duvall. Both actors won Oscars as well. Also, Geraldine Page won an Oscar for her performance in Foote's movie A Trip to Bountiful. Like much of his writing, A Trip to Bountiful was based on Horton Foote's memories of growing up in the small town of Horton, Texas. A Trip to Bountiful is about an elderly woman who is forced to leave such a town when her son gets a job in Houston. Her fantasy is to leave Houston and return to her old home, but when she summons up the strength to leave her son, she finds that Bountiful virtually no longer exists. The houses are boarded up, and the day before she arrives, the last resident of Bountiful has died. All she can do is take one last look at her home. Before we hear Terry's 1988 interview with Horton Foote, here's Geraldine Page in a scene from Foote's 1985 screen adaptation of his 1953 play.
That's all I want, just to see it. Just to stand on the porch of my own house again.
Lady, I don't have anything
to... I thought last night that I had to stay. I thought I would just die if I couldn't stay. But now, I'll settle for less. An hour. Half an hour.
Horton Foote, I want to welcome you to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
And to start our interview, I'd actually like to ask you to read something from your new book of plays, something from the introduction that you wrote about change in your life.
All right, be happy to. Change was an early acquaintance in my life. My grandfather, who seemed impervious to all mortal ends, died when I was 9. And the reverberations and changes from that death continued for many years. It was soon after that I was to see a quiet, serene street in front of my grandparents' house begin its slow but steady descent into a metaphor for all the ugly, trashy highways that scar a great deal of small-town America. And these plays, I feel, are about change, unexpected, unasked for, unwanted, but to be faced and dealt with, or else we sink into despair or a hopeless longing for a life that's gone.
Well, I think that theme of change is not only apparent in the cycle of plays that has just been published, but also it's apparent in several of your movies, such as A Trip to Bountiful. And I'm wondering what kind of changes you've had to deal with in your life that has made the idea of coping with change such a potent one in your writing.
Well, I think anybody has to deal with change because life is constantly changing, and the perceptions that you have that you try to hold on to when you're young, so many things. I mean, people move away, and houses are sold, and people die, and new life comes into focus, and there are cycles of drought and cycles of too much rain. There is the unexpected is always there, and I think you really have to kind of find yourself not thrown by this and take life as it is, each moment as best you can.
A Trip to Bountiful is about trying to return to the past and realizing that the past is always out of reach and that you can't really get back there. And you write in the introduction to your new plays that your first memory was of stories about the past.
Yes.
But that it didn't take you long for you to learn that the past was gone and nothing could be done about it. And I wonder if there was a turning point in your realization of that, just as there was for the character in A Trip to Bountiful.
Well, I learned that lesson very early because I was raised on stories of... I'm a Southerner, and my family... have been in the area that I was born in for many, many years. And as I was growing up, I was told of all the things that the family had and were lost and never to be gotten back. And so I soon learned that you had to give that up. I mean, so many of my family spent their lives in regretting that and being defeated by it. But I soon learned that that's death.
Do you ever feel that some of your plays are misunderstood and that people think that your plays are about returning to the past instead of learning to give it up?
They think they're nostalgic, and they're not at all. I don't tend. I mean, I have a certain desire to be fair to the past and as exact as I can be about the past, even a past that I've only heard about orally and haven't really lived through, because so many of my plays are based on stories that were passed down to me by other people. And I certainly think there are certain values in the past that we would be foolish to ignore and not to cherish and not to try to learn from. But I have no desire. I was thinking this morning, every day you read, "What a terrible age we live in." Well, I've heard that all my life.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think any age is really any worse. They're just new problems, it's all, and different problems.
Let's talk about Tender Mercies, the screenplay that you won an Academy Award for a few years ago. Now, Robert Duvall starred as a country and western songwriter and singer whose career derails because of alcoholism. And as he's trying to get sober, he falls in love with a young, very humble widow and moves in with her and her son. Why don't we hear a clip from that movie?
I don't know if I was what you call rich, but I had a few dollars.
How'd you get it?
Writing songs.
And how you get money for that?
Well, people are crazy enough to pay you for it. They do it.
What happened to your money?
I lost it.
How?
Too much Applejack.
You think you'll ever be rich again?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sonny, I don't lay awake nights worrying about it. No. Now, look, there's a D, right? D as in dog. Now watch me. I'll call him out. I've decided to leave G here forever. Not really. Let me know if you're staying behind. It's A7.
What did you relate to about that character that you created for Tender Mercies?
I really took as my model people I'd known in the theater. I didn't really know a lot about country western singing or singers. But I had known many people in the theater who were stars or near stars who had been defeated in some measure by alcoholism, and once in a while they'd defeated that and found a way to continue. So that really was kind of in my mind all the time I was creating Max Sledge.
Well, you know, you won an Academy Award for To Kill a Mockingbird. I want to play just a very short scene from it. The film starred Gregory Peck, and here he is.
How old were you when you got your first gun, Atticus?
13 or 14. I remember when my daddy gave me that gun. He told me that I should never point at anything in the house, and that he'd rather I'd shoot at tin cans in the backyard. But he said that sooner or later he supposed the temptation to go after birds would be too much, and that I could shoot all the blue jays I wanted. If I could hit him. But to remember, it was a sin to kill a mockingbird.
Why?
Well, I reckon because mockingbirds don't do anything but make music for us to enjoy. Don't need people's gardens. Don't nest in the corn cribs. They don't do one thing but just sing their hearts out for us.
Now, the screenplay you wrote was an adaptation from a novel?
Mm-hmm, by Harper Lee.
You did a lot of adaptations. You adapted Faulkner for Playhouse 90.
I did a lot, not a lot. I've done, well, let me see. I did Faulkner. I did Harper Lee. I did Flannery O'Connor, which is not bad. I mean, if you're going to adapt, that's the kind of things you should adapt.
Was it fulfilling work to do adaptations?
Well, it's difficult work. It's not work that I relish because it's painful because, it's... First of all, there's an enormous responsibility to a fellow artist, and secondly, it's painful to try to get into somebody else's psyche, you know, and to put on somebody else's skin, as it were, and to try to understand emotionally what, you know, what the work is about.
Now, another of your plays, called 1918, mm-hmm. is about death by flu. It's during the flu epidemic of 1918, and death by war, World War I.
Yeah.
Did you hear a lot of stories about both?
Well, yes, but more about the flu than about the war, really.
Well, families lost a lot of people during
Well, actually, the flu epidemic killed more people than the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it knew no boundaries. I mean, the people that the war couldn't get, I mean, women and children and kings and queens, the flu got. And it was a devastation. And In working on it, I thought it was interesting that actually I did the play first of all down at the HB, and when Herbert saw it, he said, "You know what this play is about?" And I often don't know what my plays are about, so I was happy to hear. And he said, "This play is about expected death and unexpected death." And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, "Of course it is, because the expected death was what will happen if you go to France or to the war, and the unexpected death was the flu, which just quietly came into a house, and nobody was expecting it, and took people, killed them."
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about death reminds me of a line that's very moving from A Trip to Bountiful. It's one of Geraldine Page's lines. And in explaining why she wants to go back to the home she grew up in and that she raised her children in, she says that two of her babies are buried there.
Mm.
And it made me really think about the pull that the dead exert on you,
mm.
from the place where, you know, where your loved ones are buried.
Yeah.
Is that something you've thought about a lot?
Well, as a matter of fact, what has always haunted me is when I was growing up, and we often, because my grandfather's death, my grandmother often went out to the cemetery, and she'd take me with her. And there in the family plot were two graves of children of hers that had died as infants. And I constantly thought about them, and it was never mentioned, never talked about. I never even saw a picture of them, but there they were. And certainly, the memory of them must have lived on in all these people, you know. And it's something that is, it does have its own reality for you.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Horton Foote, speaking to Terry Gross in 1988. The Oscar, Emmy, and Pulitzer Prize-winning writer died in his sleep earlier this week.